For many years, I met with a spiritual director. And if you're not familiar with spiritual direction, it's like counseling for your soul. I met with her monthly. We talked through my spiritual struggles, my prayer life, the disciplines that were or were not helping me to connect to God. We prayed together. She heard my confessions and pronounced absolution to me. It was a tremendously meaningful relationship to me as I was discerning God's call in my life. I learned a great deal from her. Of all the things that I learned from this holy woman, perhaps the most enduring, the thing that stays with me to this day, was really nothing that she taught, none of the disciplines that she handed on to me, but a simple practice of gratitude. You see, every time we talked to one another, she found a reason, often more than once, to use the phrase, "I am grateful." I am grateful for our time together today. I'm grateful for your ministry in this church. I'm grateful for the support of your family that I'm hearing you describe. I'm grateful for this beautiful day. I still work to cultivate a practice of gratitude into my daily life, into the way I live and move and have my being because of this woman. In all that she did, she taught me how gratitude is a powerful act of faith. How our faith is not complete without gratitude. We've been reading from Luke chapter 17, and we've been focused on faith. As the chapter opens, Jesus tells the disciples they must reconcile repeatedly with others, even those who sin against them 7 times a day, meaning over and over and over. And if you were here with us last week, you know that drove the disciples to demand, "Increase our faith," because reconciliation is so difficult. But in response, Jesus clarifies, it isn't the amount of faith that we have that's important. The faith we're given is sufficient. Even mustard seed-sized faith. Do you remember that? If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey. Last week, we learned mustard seed-sized faith is sufficient to do the work God has given us to do. And tonight's reading picks up where we left off last week. And Jesus is still teaching about faith. This week, we meet a character who demonstrates the sufficiency of mustard seed-sized faith and then shows us how to respond to God's gift of sufficient faith. 10 lepers approach Jesus. "Master, have mercy on us." You know what's interesting? They all show a measure of faith. To call Jesus Master, to seek healing from him, is at once an acknowledgement of his power over the created order, his divinity, and a sign of reliance on God's covenantal promises. All 10 cry to Jesus. All show us faith begins with asking what we need in reliance on God's word. And then, without so much as a swish and flick of his hand, Jesus tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." You know, had I been there among the 10, I'm pretty sure I would have looked down at my body before heading off to the priest to see if anything had changed. But they don't do that. All 10 of them turn and go, because Luke tells us that as they went, they were made clean. The healing happened as they walked away from Jesus, trusting that the healing would come. If you were with me last week here at the table, then you heard me talk about that word faith, pistis in Greek. I was borrowing from Father Merriman, which I'll now acknowledge since he's here. Caught. He didn't make it up. No, I actually learned a little of this in my Greek class. But we tend to define faith, don't we, as being persuaded by something, as intellectually agreeing with something. But as Luke and other New Testament writers use the term, it also means trusting, acting upon something. All 10 lepers demonstrate faith by trusting and acting. They leave to present themselves to the priests without so much as checking to see if there's anything actually to present when they get there. Here's where I got to tell you. If Rebecca Tankersley wrote the Bible, the story would stop there. We'd have a great, great sermon. It would have opened with, and as they went, they were made clean. And we'd have a straightforward lesson about faith calling forth our trust and action. But the story doesn't end there. Rebecca Tankersley didn't write the Bible. The story continues. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God, and prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And we have a great scene. Can't you just hear it? Jesus saying, "Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Just you." The language here is interesting too. One turned back, 9 did not return. That word in Greek is the same word, even though it gets translated a little differently for us in the version that we're reading tonight. And throughout the New Testament, that word describes the proper response to Jesus, to God's action in our life. It describes a movement of the whole person, a redirection, a reorientation toward God. All 10 lepers were made clean. The 9 who didn't come back, who didn't turn around, whose lives were not reoriented toward God, well, they were healed in their bodies. The one who did turn around, the one whose life was reoriented toward God, who praised God with a loud voice and said, "Thank you," well, he was healed body and soul. And this is evident in Jesus' words to him. He says, "Get up and go on your way." And that word, "get up," well, it could get translated this way: resurrect and go on your way. It's the same word that Luke uses to tell us what happened that third morning at the tomb when Jesus wasn't there anymore. We hear that word from our Orthodox brothers and sisters when they proclaim on Easter morning, "Christos Anesti." Jesus says to the man, well, Anastamos, right? It's a different translation, but it's the same word. "Be risen." Because this man, sure, he had leprosy, was cast out of society. His soul was dead. He had no access to temple worship, no relationship with God because he'd been cast out. And don't forget, he's a Samaritan. He's not even part of the chosen people. And yet now, he has new life in Christ. "Get up and go on your way," Jesus says to him. "Your faith has made you well." This man, he probably only had mustard seed-sized faith, but it was sufficient. His faith is complete in his turning around, in his reorientation of his life toward God, and in his expression of gratitude. Faith and gratitude are intimately related. And when we practice gratitude, our faith overflows from us. That's what I was experiencing with my spiritual director all those times. "I'm so grateful," she would say, and my faith grew. My love for God, my understanding of God's love for me grew. Practicing gratitude changes us. It reorients our lives wholly and completely to God's grace at work in the world around us. Just as my director inspired me to practice gratitude, and perhaps in doing so that led others to feel appreciated and loved, I hope it helped to grow their faith. But, well, what I know is that practicing gratitude now makes me more grateful, helps me recognize the ways in which God is working in my life now, and completes my faith. I'm so grateful to be with you tonight. I'm so grateful for this vocation to which God has called me. I'm so grateful that I woke up this morning and it was 48 degrees outside, and I haven't broken a sweat all day. Gratitude is the fundamental response to God. When the man turned back, and as Luke puts it, thanked Jesus, one more word for you. Well, what he did was he eucharisto Jesus, from which we get our word Eucharist. You know, that portion of the worship service that we'll turn to in just a few moments that we call the Eucharist. Well, in our Book of Common Prayer, it's called the Great Thanksgiving. Friends, we are called to live out our faith, to trust, to act, and we're called to reflect God's promises to us, not only with our lips, but in our lives. God doesn't ask us to have giant faith, doesn't ask us always to give out giant faith. Mustard seed-sized faith will do. And that mustard seed-sized faith is complete with our reorientation of our lives toward God in gratitude. Nicole Nordeman is one of my very favorite contemporary Christian singers. She puts it this way. "And all you ever wanted, only me on my knees, singing holy, holy. Somehow all that matters now, you are holy. And all I have is gratitude to offer you." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.